Welcome to installment 163 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains four commandments. Prohibition 124, the prohibition against allowing a meal offering to become chametz or leavened. Positive commandment 88, the commandment for a kohen to eat the relevant parts of a mincha, a meal offering. Positive commandment 83, to bring all the necessary sacrifices and other donations promptly to the temple. And prohibition 155, the prohibition against delaying for too long a period any similar sacrifices or donations to the temple. The first two commandments of today's shiur deal with the meal offerings, or menachos, as discussed in the Talmudic tractate Menachos. The meal offering was offered in the following way. The flour in general was mixed together with oil, and frankincense or lavona was sprinkled on top. The kohen would take a kmitza, using the three middle fingers of his hand, take a fistful of this offering, and this would be burned on the altar itself. This fistful or kmitza would include the top portion of the flour and oil, together with all of the frankincense. The remaining portion of this meal offering was called shiare menachos, or the remaining part of the meal offering. And the law was that this remaining part would be eaten by the kohanim. This applies only if the offering itself was brought by a yisro. If the offering was brought by a kohen himself, then it would be totally burned. Even the remaining part would be burned on the altar, as we discussed in yesterday's portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. Positive commandment number 88 is that the kohanim are commanded to eat the remaining part of the mincha or meal offering. As dictated in the book of Leviticus, chapter 6, verse 9, V'hanesedes mimena, that the remaining part of it, of the meal offering, yechu arnovonov, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. Masei teyochel, etch be'eaten as matzah, as an unleavened bread. Perhaps one might think that this idea of eating the remaining part of the meal offering is only something which is allowed and is not actually a biblical commandment. The Rambam quotes the Sifra, which states explicitly that this is not the case. The Sifra compares this commandment of eating the leftover part of the meal offering with the commandment of Yibum. When a man's brother has died without leaving children, he is commanded to marry or be miyabem his sister-in-law. This is not something which the brother-in-law is allowed to do, but rather something which he is commanded to do, either to marry her with Yibum or to give her chalitza, as we have discussed in earlier portions of Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Sifra states that just as this is something which is not merely allowed, but is actually required, so too this commandment of eating the leftover meal offering is also an explicit commandment, and not only something which is allowed. The Rambam concludes by quoting a following verse from the book of Leviticus, Kol zochar bivnei Aaron yechlenu, that all males of the kohanim shall eat it, that unlike other parts of the sacrifices, which are eaten by the kohanim, as well as their families, when it comes to the leftover parts of the meal offerings, this is something which is edible only by the male kohanim and not by the female members of their family. This is the positive commandment to eat the leftover part of the meal offering. There is also a prohibition associated with this leftover meal offering, shiare menachos. This is prohibition 124. As related in the book of Leviticus, chapter 6, verse 10, Lei seyofe chametz. You shall not bake it as chametz, as leavened bread. Chelkom nasati eisa me'ishai. Their portion I have given as part of my burnt offering. And as the Rambam explains, the word chelkom, their portion, goes together with the words le'seyof echametz, that their portion, the portion of the kohanim that they are allowed to eat, meaning the leftover portion of the meal offering, may not be baked as chametz. One must only bake it as matzah. And if one bakes it as chametz, he is violating this prohibition and gets lashes, as the Rambam quotes the Mishnah. And the Rambam further relates in his legal code that not only one that bakes it as chametz gets lashes, but even someone that has caused this meal offering to become chametz or leavened by another means, such as a person that has sprinkled leavening on top of this dough and thereby caused it to become leavened, he also incurs the penalty of lashes. In his book, Derech Mitzvasecha, explaining the reasons, according to the Chassidic philosophy of the commandments, the Tzemach Tzedek explains this law that the Kohanim must eat the leftover meal offering, and furthermore relates the fact that they must make a blessing beforehand. And the Tzemach Tzedek compares the eating of the Kohanim to our eating on Shabbos, that this that we eat during the week is something we were required to do in order to purify the food and elevate it, to bring out the sparks of holiness in it and bring it up to holiness. This is similar to what we did in the altar. By burning animals on the altar, the animals themselves, as well as the entire animal kingdom, as well as all parts of the universe which contributed to this animal's growth, all of them were purified and their sparks were elevated to their holy source. This is like our eating during the week, when we purify the holiness from the food. However, on Shabbos, our eating is a different type of eating. The eating itself is a mitzvah, not only the purification of sparks, but it is as if we are drawing down holiness to the world from a higher place. And just as our eating on Shabbos is a commandment, a mitzvah, and accomplishes an infusion of holiness in the world, so too the consumption of these sacrifices by the Kohanim was also a commandment, and also brought down holiness to the world, to the extent that the one who brought the sacrifice achieved atonement by the Kohen's consumption of the sacrifice. There must be some preparation for this, however, and the Kohen, before consuming the offering, had to make a blessing, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvaysa V'tzivonu, that Hashem sanctified with His commandments and commanded us to eat this offering. Only after this introduction can He bring down the holiness to the world and to the owner of the offering with His eating. And the same thing, says the Tzemach Tzedek, applies to Shabbos. Before our eating on Shabbos can accomplish the desired goal, first we must daven on Shabbos, we must pray with proper kavanah, with great intention. And after we have had this intense prayer experience, then our eating can accomplish this which it is meant to accomplish, and bring down holiness into the world, and elevate the entire world through our Shabbos eating. The last two commandments of today's portion relate to when we must bring our offerings to the temple in Jerusalem. When a person makes a vow or another commitment to bring a sacrifice or any other type of offering to the temple, he is required to bring it immediately. And this is a positive commandment number 83, as dictated in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. As these verses state, after describing the necessity of bringing sacrifices only in the city of Jerusalem, that although Jerusalem is not referred to by name, it is constantly referred to as the place God will choose, which we later saw in the days of King David, that the place he chose was the city of Jerusalem. And regarding this place, the verse states, L'shichnei sidrashu, you should seek out his presence, uvasa shama, and come there. This is the place you should go. And the following verse states, Vaveisim shama eleiseichem, etc., that this is the place you should bring your burnt offerings. And the Rambam explains that the proximity of these two words, that you should come there, and you should bring them, meaning the offerings, teach you that whenever you come there, you must immediately bring your offerings. That one is required to bring these offerings at the first holiday when they are required to come to Jerusalem. As we know that there are three times in the year where the Jewish people were required to make pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The holiday of Pesach, Passover, Shavuos, and Sukkot. That these were the three times that a person was required to go to Jerusalem. And these times he was required to bring whatever offering he had made himself obligated to give at the first possible opportunity. There is a similar prohibition related with this commandment, Prohibition 155, as related in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 22. Ki sidar neder l'Hashem elokecha, when you make a vow to Hashem your God, leita acher l'shalme, you should not be late in paying it back. This is a prohibition that any commitment which was made to be brought to Jerusalem could not be delayed. The time span, however, was different for both of these commandments. As the Rambam quotes from the Sifri, that the positive commandment, that one is required to bring the offerings as soon as possible, applies to the first holiday that one encounters. And if one passes through a holiday and does not bring his obligations, he has automatically nullified this positive commandment. However, if one delays his commandment for three holidays, three consecutive holidays, then he has violated not only the positive commandment, but this prohibition as well, that after he has passed through three successive holidays and not brought his offerings, he is considered to have violated the second law, the prohibition, as well as the positive commandment. The Rambam brings this out clearly from the Talmudic passage in Rosh Hashanah, that there are two points of view as to whether this prohibition applies only after three holidays have passed or immediately after the first holiday. The one that says that the prohibition applies after the first holiday brings his proof from the verse we quoted earlier. Uvasa shama, when you come there, vavesem shama, you must bring your sacrifices. However, the sages, the Rabbanim, say that this applies to the positive commandment, that one is required to bring the sacrifices immediately upon the arrival of the first festival, applies to the positive commandment. The prohibition, however, is transgressed only after three holidays have passed. There are two opinions expressed in the Gemara whether they have to be three holidays in a row, meaning Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, or whether it is any three holidays. For example, if someone made a promise before Shavuos, and he passed by Shavuos, Sukkot, and Pesach, whether then he would consider to have gone through an entire year. Or perhaps he has to go through three of them in order, a complete Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. The Rambam's opinion is dependent on which translation of Sefer HaMitzvot you look at. In the old traditional translation, he seems to indicate that we need three in order. The more recent translations from the Arabic, however, seem to indicate that any three holidays would also result in this prohibition. The Rambam concludes by stating that these commandments apply to any obligation to bring anything to Jerusalem, include not only the sacrifices, but any monetary donation, erechim, and the evaluations, chromim, hekdesh, and also lekef shikcha upeya, the agricultural gifts which were required to be given to the poor. And as the Rambam declares in his legal code, that if someone makes a promise to give charity, he is required to do so not only by the first holiday, but immediately. That since the poor people are there and they're waiting for the money, he is required to give it immediately. And should he not do so, he is violating this prohibition of delaying one's offering. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvot. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.